Imam and a Rabbi by Shaquille Ahmed.
Good afternoon, dear. Yes, you. Can I interest you in my product? Now, I know exactly what you're thinking. Sure, this stall looks empty, and sure, to the naked eye, it would appear as though it is nothing but a strange man sat on a chair beside a bare table. But haven't your eyes ever deceived you before? Just because the table appears empty doesn't mean it is, not by a long shot. In fact, I wouldn't consider it too hyperbolic to say that I believe my stall to be the most important stall on the entire market. Would you like to know what I sell? Stories, parables, fables, allegories, and every one of them is true. Would you like to hear one? I knew you would. Okay, get comfortable. This one is about an imam, Jawad Saltar, and a rabbi, Saul Greenberg. Both were loved and valued by their respective communities and engaged in numerous interfaith dialogue projects such as the Build a Bridge and Get Over It initiative. They would often stand shoulder to shoulder, smiling, whilst posing for local press. But each time, quietly, they would express their true feelings for one another.
You see, Javad, that's how you work a crowd. You don't need Kalashnikovs and burning American flags.
Oh, you're right, Saul. I thought all that I shall not let you down stuff was wicked. I could just imagine you saying it to your congregation of bankers.
Oh, you're falling back on all stereotypes. You see, that's the problem with you lot. You're so backward and undeveloped.
Oh, you might want to adjust your hat for the cameras. Your horns are showing.
Yeah, so is your Semtex.
And then they would both go home and wash their hands with their strongest soap. The next day, after the dawn prayer, Imam Jawad was approached by a local man.
Imam Sahib, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. It's all good. How's things?
Not very good. That's why I'm here. It's about my son Imran. He's been behaving strangely lately.
Strange? How?
Well, his voice has changed and he's become very abusive towards me and his mother.
Sounds like puberty.
He's 23.
Late developer.
Yesterday, he tried to bite the paperboy.
I've heard that biting is a sign of affection in some cultures.
He also tried to bite the milkman and the postman.
Okay. If you can get him to wear a gum shield, I'll come round to have a look at him tonight.
That's not going to be possible.
Are those bite marks on your wrist?
Yes, I'm afraid they are.
Just exactly what's wrong with the boy?
We're hoping you can tell us.
Okay, I'll be round tonight. The safety of members of my congregation means everything to me.
What time? 9 o'clock?
10 o'clock, after the Manchester Derby.
Imam Jawad's taste buds began salivating, as he was certain that he would be offered a tasty meal by the grateful Afzals after he got to the bottom of their son's condition. At around about the same time, Rabbi Greenberg was sat in his office when the synagogue committee secretary entered.
Rabbi Greenberg, I hope you know how much the committee appreciates your hard work over the last 4 years. In your first few months in the position, the synagogue saw more young people regularly attending than we ever have in our history.
Well, thank you, Marcus. The synagogue is and always has been my absolute priority.
And the committee understands that, Rabbi. Yeah. The problem is that after an initial period of growth, when you first took the position, the number of people coming to the synagogue has significantly waned. The committee fears that the community has grown weary of your eccentric behaviour.
Many a wise person has been called eccentric, Marcus.
You tried to start a conga line in the middle of a sermon, Rabbi.
I was talking about unity. I thought the visual aid would be useful.
And quite frankly, some of your attempts at bringing more young people into the synagogue have been, well, embarrassing. Like the week you wrapped a sermon?
Our young people need to be reached.
The committee didn't feel having an adult behave in that manner was appropriate. The committee felt it was grotesque.
What in God's holy name is your point, Marcus?
The committee has taken the decision to issue you with a formal warning.
For what? Being good at what I do?
You need to curb your eccentricities, Rabbi. The committee feels that your behaviour could force people out of the synagogue, which is the exact opposite of what they're trying to achieve.
I'm trying to achieve that too. It's not like I have some hidden agenda or something.
If you can just take into account the committee's concerns, everything will be fine, Rabbi. Oh,
thank you very much, Mumser.
Sorry?
Nothing.
Okay. I'll leave you to it.
Hey. This is not good for my blood pressure. What?
Rabbi Greenberg.
Oh, Mr. Bernstein. How are you?
I must speak to you about a pressing matter.
Okay, but I've got an appointment with the doctor.
What time?
I don't know. I haven't called him yet. I'm coming down with something I can tell. I know my own body. Anyway, please, sit down.
It's about my daughter, Deborah. She's the light of my life.
Ah. Well, I wouldn't worry too much about that. It's only natural for a parent to have a close bond with her only child.
I think she may have fallen prey to a dibbuk.
A dibbuk? Now, that is quite the claim.
She was saying strange things in a tongue I've never heard before.
Well, you mean like Welsh or something?
Oh, no. This was something else.
Well, that's it. She was speaking a different language and you concluded that she's possessed?
It's other things as well, Rabbi. But I don't feel comfortable discussing them here.
Oh. Well, if you prefer, I could come to your house this evening.
Imam Javad, thank you for coming.
No problem. Now, where is the little guy?
Imam, he's 23.
Excellent, excellent.
Upstairs, his bedroom's the first door on the right.
Jazakallah khair. This shouldn't take long.
My wife is just preparing dinner. Will you please stay and eat with us this evening?
Oh, if you insist.
As the Imam ascended the stairs, a strange chill crept up his spine. He noticed his breath visible before him. The mood suddenly became eerie. Imran was sat on a chair in the corner of the room. Imam Jawad sat down on the bed.
So, what's this I hear about you biting everyone?
I don't remember doing anything like that.
What's really going on with you, Imran? Your folks are worried.
I don't know. He started talking to me a few months ago.
Who? Your dad?
No. He said he wanted to help me. He said that he could make them listen to us.
Us? Who?
And then he went into my head. I've tried to fight him off. I've really tried. But it's useless. I've no fight left in me.
Okay, can we just pause for a second and tell me what exactly we're talking about?
I'm sorry, Imam. He's here.
Who's here?
I'm sorry. I can't keep him out.
Imran, what are you doing?
You need to leave now.
Imran, are you okay? Imran, I think your ears are bleeding.
Nicht nettig.
Sorry?
Straschen nettigens.
Right. Well, I've got to be anywhere else right now, so I'm going to get going.
Ich pfeife.
Yeah, I'll see myself out. The door's just here. Thank you for your hospitality, but there's no need to stand. You just stay sat on that chair with your bleeding ears.
Imam.
Yes?
You will bring us together.
Okay. If that's what you want.
How is Imran?
He's fine. It's nothing to worry about. Growing pains. He'll grow out of it.
He's in his 20s.
Just give him some time and he'll get back to normal. Can I get my dinner to go? I'll return all the Tupperware to you as soon as I'm done.
Thank you so much, Imam Javad.
No. There's no need to thank me. It's my duty. Please, Allah. If there's no repercussions from this, I'll do anything. I'll stop eating Twix. I'll even think about throwing the guitar away.
I'm at the end of my tether, Rabbi. We had guests round this afternoon and Deborah was saying things that nobody understood. It was so embarrassing. Oh,
sounds like quite the dilemma. Could you call Deborah down, please?
Oh, I'd love to. But she's locked herself in the bathroom.
Hello, Deborah. It's good to meet you. Deborah, why are you locking the door? This is most inappropriate.
You have to help me, Rabbi. I feel like I'm going insane.
Well, clearly, child, but you must unlock this door instantly.
Rabbi, please. My father thinks I'm possessed by a Dybbuk. Is it true?
It's possible, but highly unlikely. I'd much prefer that we look for more rational answers before we pull the Dybbuk card. Now, why don't you tell me what's been happening?
I've been having these blackouts.
Blackouts?
Yeah. My head starts to spin and I feel like I've passed out. But my dad said that I'm still moving around and stuff.
Have you spoken to a doctor?
No.
Well, it may be useful to do so.
What about the voice I've been hearing?
Well, the doctor can probably give you some medication for that too.
Rabbi, you believe me, don't you?
Of course I believe you, child. And so does your father. Now, that is...
Rabbi?
Yes, child.
Why is the room spinning?
Oh, no. Don't do that. Oh! Deborah! Can you hear me? Oh, stand up, child. The bathroom floor is highly unsanitary.
What's going on, Rabbi? What was that noise?
She's passed out!
Is she okay?
But she's unconscious!
Oh, God, that floor will be infested with germs. Unlock the door and let me in.
It won't open!
Maybe I can help!
Oh, Deborah, I'm glad you're awake!
No, Deborah's still out cold.
Right.
Rabbi, you're in over your head. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to leave. After that, I'm going to consider you fair game.
Fair game? For what?
Esther sends her greetings.
Esther's been dead for years.
Would you like to join her?
Mr. Bernstein!
What's the matter?
Ubarak.
Excuse me?
Ganjirani, Parapanai.
What are you doing? Mr. Bernstein, help! I can't open the door!
What's going on in there?
Deborah's floating! Oh, get me out of here!
I warned you, Rabbi!
Let go of me, Deborah!
My name is not Deborah!
Rabbi, I won't...
Of course not! Your daughter's trying to kill me!
Deborah, stop that immediately!
No! You oppress them both!
Rabbi, quick! Are you okay?
Of course I'm not okay. Has she ever done that before?
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me?
Would you still have come over?
Well, I'm going to say yes. Mr. Bernstein, you deceived me and kept valuable facts from me regarding the full extent of your daughter's condition. In doing so, you placed me in harm's way. Now, that is not something I appreciate, and I refuse to work under such conditions.
A compelling thought abruptly lodged itself into the rabbi's head. Mr. Bernstein, as a prosperous and active local businessman, held much influence over the synagogue committee. If Rabbi Greenberg could resolve the Deborah situation, Mr. Bernstein would never allow him to be jettisoned from his position. It was too good a plan to resist.
But it is imperative that a person in my position be of a forgiving nature. I therefore absolve you of blame and wrongdoing, and vow to do whatever it takes to help your daughter.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Greenberg.
Don't mention it. Now, the words Deborah was speaking had a cadence and flow that sounded awfully familiar.
Did you recognize them?
No. I'm going to need to look into a couple of things before I can deduce exactly what needs to be done here. Don't worry, I shall not let you down.
The following morning, Rabbi Greenberg was in a reflective mood. He had spent an entire hour flicking through radio channels in an effort to find the same language Deborah had been speaking the previous night. Suddenly, he hit the jackpot.
Ah, that's it, of course. It was Punjabi.
Now, how many of my friends speak Punjabi?
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
Is that Imam Javad?
Yep.
This is Rabbi Greenberg. Hello?
Still here. I was just literally holding my tongue so I didn't swear.
Now, this is just as painful for me as it is for you, believe me. If I didn't have to do this, I wouldn't. I would literally prefer to thrust a rusty fork into my ear.
Me too. In your ear.
Right. Now, as difficult as this is to admit, I may require your assistance with a pressing matter.
Tell you what, I'll help you if you say please.
No.
Okay, but only because I'm curious.
Fine.
Are you going to say thanks?
No.
What happened to your face? Coupon day at the dentist?
Shh. This is sort of difficult to say and I don't want people to hear.
Really? I'm getting excited.
I'm not trying to build tension.
Still, my palms are clammy.
I am certain that a member of my congregation is possessed. Did you hear me?
No.
I said that a member of my congregation is possessed. I went to see her the other night and she was speaking what I believe to be Punjabi.
Is that it? Because that means pretty much all my congregation is possessed.
Of course, that's not all. She was floating.
Floating?
Floating! And she kicked me in the face.
You got beat up by a girl?
Shh. I didn't get beat up. She caught me by surprise.
I don't know anyone who's been beaten up by a girl. Not even any girls.
I didn't get beat up by a girl. Anyway, that's not the point of the story. The point is that somebody I know is possessed.
Funny you should say that. Last night, Imran, the son of a member of the mosque, was screeching and speaking Yiddish in the freakiest voice I've ever heard.
You sure it was Yiddish?
I checked it up after I left. He said, Ich pfeif auf dir.
I despise you.
Oh, that freaky voice. I couldn't sleep.
Did he float?
No.
Do you think Imran could be possessed by a dibuk?
I can't be certain because I don't know what that is.
In Jewish folklore, it's a wandering spirit that attaches to a living person. Now, sometimes to accomplish some sort of task, other times there's no reason at all.
And it sounds like Deborah has been got by a djinn.
A djinn? Well, does that mean she has three wishes?
Yes, and her first wish is that you weren't her rabbi. Oh, no, in Islamic belief, the djinn are creatures that occupy a realm parallel to our own. They can see us, but we can't see them.
You mean there could be a djinn here right now?
Could be.
Is there a specific reason why a djinn would materialize?
I'm going to say no.
You mean you don't know?
This kind of thing doesn't happen all the time.
Fine. Okay, so now we have an inkling as to what we're dealing with. How do we unpossess them?
That's your problem. I plan to stay as far away from Mr. Afzal as possible.
You are unbelievable. Your community needs you, and you're just going to shirk, nay, flee from your responsibilities.
Did you say nay?
I thought you were better than that.
No, you didn't.
I thought you were a man of integrity.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't, but I was hoping you were going to prove me wrong.
What's in it for you?
Excuse me?
You haven't abused me in, 2 minutes or something. You need this bad.
I'm offended at the accusation. Unlike some, I care deeply for those who make up my congregation and I understand the responsibility of my position.
You're lying. But I can't let you take the moral high ground.
Well, I guess the first question is, have you ever exorcised a djinn before?
No.
I've never exorcised a dibuk either. But I know it requires myself, 9 other Jewish people and a chauffeur.
Can't you just walk?
A chauffeur, S-H-O-F-A-R, it's a ram's horn trumpet.
Where do you get one of those from?
Well, the cheapest I've seen so far was for £37 on eBay.
I don't need anything but myself.
Okay, then I think it makes sense that you exorcise Deborah first. And obviously I'll also be present to ensure everything goes smooth.
And then we switch roles to sort out Imran.
And then we get out of each other's lives and go back to the status quo. You're 21 minutes late. I've been sat out in the car on my own like some stalker. Why do you look so weird?
I'm layered up. I've got 4 jumpers on and 2 pairs of jog pants.
I'm not taking any chances.
Are you wearing a gum shield?
Yep.
Oh, that's very clever. Plus, if the exorcism doesn't go well, I guess Mr. Bernstein will be laughing too hard to notice. Take it out.
That okay?
What are you doing now?
They're called lunges. It's for your hamstrings.
It's an exorcism, not the FA Cup final.
Rabbi Greenberg. Shalom.
Shalom, Mr. Bernstein.
Easy now.
Who's this?
This man is going to help us cure Deborah.
Oh, I didn't realize we had Asian Jews in the congregation.
You don't.
No, Mr. Bernstein, this man is a professional. There is literally nobody more qualified to do what we need him to do.
Wait a minute. Is he a Muslim?
Well...
Yes, I is.
Is this true, Rabbi?
Yes, it is. Now, where is that daughter of yours?
Rabbi Greenberg, irrespective of the well-being of my daughter, I will not let this man into my house.
In that case, are you going to let Deborah out?
Imam Javad, please be quiet a moment.
Imam? He's an imam.
Salam.
Rabbi Greenberg, this is most unorthodox. The synagogue committee is going to hear about this.
Oh, I prefer it didn't. Oh.
That went well.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Saab.
Wa alaikum salam, Mr. Afzal. This is Rabbi Greenberg from the local synagogue. Now, we believe that Imran may be possessed by a dibuk, a wandering spirit from Jewish folklore that can attach to living persons and inhabit them.
Did you say rabbi?
Yes, he did. We just want to make sure that's not going to be an issue. You know, before we bring round the chauffeur and the 9 other Jewish people we need for the exorcism.
Are you serious?
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Imam Javad, you're trying to hold a Jewish gathering in my house?
It's not a Jewish gathering.
You're trying to get me to host 10 Jews and their drivers?
It's actually a ram's horn trumpet.
What are you talking about?
It doesn't matter.
Imam Javad, I'm very disappointed.
No, that was embarrassing.
We're going to have to let you go.
Where?
No. You do not understand. You are no longer the imam. Effective immediately. Now, the committee appreciates everything you have done during your tenure, but what you did tonight is just one weird action too far. We can't keep overlooking these things.
Oh, what are you on about? Weird?
You have quoted Bob Dylan in every one of your Friday sermons for the past 7 weeks.
The man's a poet!
And you barged into a British National Party gathering singing We Are the World?
I was extending an olive branch.
Do you know what would happen if people found out what you did tonight? They'd start going to a different mosque. Our donations would dry up and we wouldn't be able to maintain this building. We'd be forced to close the doors and the building would become dilapidated.
I just wanted a free meal.
I'd really appreciate it if you left quietly. It'd save embarrassment for both sides.
Okay. Can I at least give the azam over the loudspeaker before I leave?
Of course.
Shukriya.
Just give us a minute.
I have just been fired by the morons who run the mosque. Do you want to know why? For trying to do the right thing.
Put that down.
No.
Put it down. You said you were going to try to live with dignity.
I changed my mind. Ah, let go of me.
Put it down.
Ah, stop kicking me.
Bright and early the following morning, Rabbi Greenberg walked into his office at the synagogue. The committee secretary, Marcus, was already waiting for him.
It's the end of the road, Rabbi. We've found a replacement.
I sort of expected that.
And he's already started. He's in the hall right now for Benjamin Ephron's bar mitzvah.
Ah, but I take it Mr. Bernstein called.
Your actions last night were beyond the pale.
Could I just have a minute, please?
One minute! No more!
And I would like to thank my mother and father for putting on this bar mitzvah. It's been a marvellous...
Excuse me, sunshine. There's a good lad. Hello!
Hello. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Rabbi.
And I just wanted to take this time to convey all our congratulations to Benjamin Ephraim on this, the day that he enters manhood and immediately surpasses the miscreants who make up the committee of this synod.
Right, that's it.
Now, I've probably only got about 10 seconds left before I'm dragged from the mic. So let me say this. Marcus, the committee secretary, is a rubber fetishist.
Who told you that?
And he referred to you all as goys. Also, the food you've all eaten wasn't kosher.
Time passed. Hours became days, became weeks. The mosque and the synagogue moved on. Now merely known as Jawad and Saul, the former imam and the former rabbi faded into the background of their respective communities. And though they both secretly pined for their previous position, neither one gave even a single second's thought to the other. Jawad took a job as the delivery guy for Easy In, Easy Out Takeaway, self-proclaimed home of the spiciest kebabs in the north of the country. Though his boss was a skinflint and his colleagues spent all their time talking about cars and trainers, Jawad kept to himself and got on with the daily grind. It was as anyone would imagine it to be. Repetitive, dull, dreary, repetitive, uneventful, and repetitive. So when Jawad was told to make a delivery to a house on the rundown Rungs estate, he thought nothing of it.
Rabbi?
What's the matter? You surprised that I don't live in a mansion?
Not really. I just never thought you were a fan of doner meat.
I'm not.
Is this number 7?
17. The one fell off.
Ah.
I see the vicissitudes of time have been generous to you.
I don't know what that means.
Would you like to come inside?
Not really.
No, come on. Easy in, easy out won't miss you if you take an extra 5 minutes.
Oh, they might. Tonight's the busiest night of the week.
It's Tuesday.
Bingo night at the Silverman?
Come on.
Only 5 minutes.
And does it feel strange to be in the lair of the enemy?
A little. Oh, who are the nippers in the picture?
Daniel and Hannah.
Yours?
No, they're just two random children who I took a picture of so I could decorate my mantelpiece. Of course they're mine.
They're really young.
And?
And you're not.
So, what of it?
Nothing. I'm impressed. Where's their mother?
Hester passed away 4 years ago.
Sorry.
What about you?
Married, no kids.
Yeah, sort of the opposite of my situation.
Is this what I think it is?
Genuine chauffeur, the real deal.
Quite nice. eBay?
Oh, you know it. Your being here is actually quite the coincidence.
In what way?
I was reading this just before you arrived. Now, you remember Deborah and Imra?
Vaguely.
Well, they're both in the hospital. Both were complaining that they could hear voices in their heads.
Oh, damn it. I hope their moron parents are satisfied.
Are you happy? Are you content doing what you're doing?
Why wouldn't I be? The spiciest kebabs in the north of England.
Well, how can they even know that?
Trust me.
When did you become an imam?
Do you know what? I actually wanted to help people.
Yeah, well, it's cheesy, but yeah, me too. So what the heck happened to us?
I don't know.
Imran and Deborah sound like they could do with some help.
Yeah?
Do you want to give it another go?
Are you talking about redemption?
I am.
Then I think you should ring your babysitter.
So, what's the plan?
The way I see it, it's quite simple. Firstly, we get Deborah and Imran from the hospital.
What do you mean get? Like kidnap?
You can say abduct if that makes you feel better.
So our firstly is an abduction?
Yep. Secondly...
You know what? Never mind. Just tell me as and when it's necessary.
I've got some rope that we can tie them up with.
What, you keep rope in the car?
For towing and stuff.
Oh, I believe your thousands wouldn't.
Finding out what rooms Imran and Deborah were in from the hospital receptionist was easy. Unfortunately,
Visiting time had elapsed for the day over 3 hours ago.
Stay steady.
Shut up.
Stop shuffling. I can't keep my balance.
Shut up and be quick. We've got Emerald in the car. All we've got to do is get Deborah.
Well, so I'm just going to keep my feet on your shoulders, OK?
Stop commentating. Just look in the stupid room.
I can see her. She's in bed. She's got her back to me. Deborah. Deborah. She's coming over.
Rabbi Greenberg.
Good evening, Deborah. How are you?
Been better.
Of course, it was a silly question. You are in the hospital after all. Have they been taking care of you?
Yes. Well, they've been really nice.
Oh, that's good to hear. The media only conveys the horror stories regarding the state of the National Health Service. All its positives very rarely receive an airing.
What the heck are you going on about?
Deborah, this man may be able to help you with the voice you've been hearing.
You mean the guy you stood on?
He's a thorough professional. We both are. Okay, Deborah, now, before we put you in the car, we're going to have to tie you up.
So you don't try to eat us or something.
Okay.
At the girl.
Deborah!
Imran! Oh, my God!
You guys know each other?
Can we discuss this on the road, please?
How do you two know each other?
We met at the market. Hmm. My dad runs the bookstore. He makes me work on it every now and then.
And my dad has the movie store right next to it.
Ah, that's where I recognise you from. I bought Grease on DVD from you about a year ago.
Wait, so how long have you known each other?
A couple of years. We were kind of seeing each other.
Yeah, but then Pops found out and hit the roof. They've never got on. Dad flipped out Mr. Bernstein started selling DVDs on his stall when he was supposed to be selling books.
But Dad said that he was only selling adaptations of famous novels, so the market allowed it.
How serious were you guys?
We wanted to get married.
I'm sure that went down really well.
Dad didn't let me out of the house for a month and forbid me from watching Bollywood movies.
Might have tried to ship me off to Pakistan.
We couldn't contact each other.
How long has it been since you last saw or heard from each other?
About 6 months.
And how long have you both been hounded by these spirits?
About 6 months.
When the debunk was in Imran, it said, you will bring us together.
The djinn in Deborah said you oppressed them both to Mr. Bernstein.
Oh, my God. Do you think there's a link?
No. I think it's the single biggest coincidence in the history of humanity.
Do these voices still plague you?
Yeah.
Well, don't worry. We're going to rid you of this affliction tonight. Javad, what's the next phase of our plan?
We break into Silverman Hall.
Your travesty.
We're about to perform a double exorcism. That requires a space. Bingo finished an hour ago, so they'll have finished cleaning up by now. It'll be empty.
You've put a lot of thought into this, haven't you?
Can you get together 9 Jews?
I don't think I've seen 9 Jewish people since I was sacked.
Do you think the horn will be enough?
God, I hope so. That and Mr. Bernstein and Afzal.
Minutes later, at the Silverman Hall.
I'll let the lovebirds in. You call Bernstein.
Good evening, Mr. Bernstein. This is Rabbi Greenberg.
The Muslim lover?
Yes, that one.
The self-hating Jew.
I'm not a self-hater.
You are, in my opinion.
Well, an opinion that's founded on ignorance is not an opinion, it's just ignorance. Anyway, listen, Deborah is with me and Imam Javad at the Silverman Hall.
What are you talking about? You've got my daughter. You're going to make her a Muslim, aren't you?
No, we're not making her a Muslim. We're going to do our best to cure her. We felt it prudent to pre-inform you that we are taking this course of action. Now, if you wish to be here for your daughter, I suggest you get here immediately. Good evening. We should hurry up.
Salam. Mr. Afzal.
Salam. Who is this?
Javad.
Javad, why are you ringing here?
We've got your son.
Imran. Who's we?
Me and Rabbi Greenberg.
Where?
Silverman Hall.
I'm gonna kill you when I get my hands on you, Javad.
Okay, bye. He's coming.
Right. Let's tie Imran to this chair here and we'll tie Deborah to that chair down that end of the room.
Good call. You do your thing here and I'll do my thing there. Come on, Deborah.
Where are we going?
To this chair.
Are you gonna tie me to it?
Yep. And thanks for not doing any freaky stuff so far tonight.
No problem, Imran Javad.
It's been a while since anyone called me Imam.
Is Rabbi Greenberg tying Imran up down there?
Yeah, don't worry. You'll both be fine.
And at the other end of the hall...
No, that didn't do it.
Make an X with the two ends.
Right.
Now make an overhand out of those.
Done.
Now pull tightly on all the ends together.
Huh? Oh, look at that.
Right over left and left over right. Makes the knot neat and tidy and tight.
Oh, thanks very much.
Is this going to work, Rabbi?
Well, it looks quite strong.
No, I meant the exorcism.
Of course it will. You've no need to worry. Javad!
Yeah?
Can I speak to you a moment?
Saul and Javad approached each other and huddled close in the middle of the hall.
I'm worried.
Me too.
If it looks or sounds like I'm in trouble...
I'll do what I can. Sam?
Yeah. God be with you.
God be with you.
They both turned, stood back to back, inhaled deeply, and began striding decisively towards opposite ends of the hall.
All right, Deborah. Get that djinn out here right now so I can show him who's boss.
Imran, brace yourself. When I blow on this horn, that Dibbuk inside you is going to manifest. And when he does, I'm going to make him regret it. Imran, oh God, please don't be dead.
Please, Deborah, come on.
I'm trying, but it's just not happening. I've never done it on purpose.
I know you haven't, but the police are probably on their way over right now, and it would be really good if we could do this before they get here.
Suddenly, the door burst open. Mr. Bernstein and Mr. Afzal ran in. The two fathers saw their children tied up.
Deborah, you get away from my daughter, Imam.
Rabbi, you better not lay a finger on Imran.
Imran?
Here we go.
You are a nutnik, Rabbi.
What's a nutnik?
It's like a nuisance or an obnoxious person.
Jawad, who had been distracted by the screech, turned to Deborah and was shocked to find that though she was still tied to the chair, she was now floating at eye level.
That's not good.
Hajar Putra!
What did she say?
She said, come on, son!
Jawad turned to run, but tripped over his own leg and fell onto the floor. He looked towards Saul and saw that Imran had freed himself, but was now tying Saul to the chair. Misters Bernstein and Afzal cowered together in the corner.
Saul!
Yeah?
This isn't happening the way I'd imagine.
No, it's not.
Any ideas?
Try not to die.
Imran finished restraining Saul and stood back to admire his work.
Stay put, Rabbi. Our quarrel is not with you. Who threw that shoe at my head?
He turned and saw Jawad sat on the floor wearing only one shoe.
Deborah threw it.
Deborah floated down and kicked Jawad in the chin. He fell onto his back in a daze. Imran turned back to Saul, who sat with a shofar in his hands, free of his restraints.
The boy you've possessed knows how to tie better knots than you do.
The rabbi brought the shofar to his lips to give it another almighty blow, but Imran quickly snatched it from him.
I said, our quarrel is not with you.
Imran and Deborah both turned in unison to Mr. Afzal and Mr. Bernstein.
Bernstein!
Afzal, you two have oppressed these children.
Imran's 23.
Silence!
We have both held back on the full force of our capabilities thus far.
But if you do not yield to our demands tonight, we will unleash unimaginable pain and suffering on you and your loved ones.
We'll invite more of our kind to infest your family.
We will soil the food you eat.
We will sully the air you breathe.
And we will take over your lives.
Your livelihoods and income will dry up overnight.
Your communities will cast you out like lepers.
Your very souls will wither away and die.
But that won't be the end of the suffering.
We will lie with you in your grave.
And torment you until the day your souls are brought before your Lord.
Oh, God!
There are two choices before you now. The first is that you let them be, both of them, and we leave.
The second is that you continue down your path of intolerance and we follow through on our threats. Do you understand?
Imam Javad, what do you say?
Do you really need to be advised on this, you moron?
Rabbi Greenberg.
Choice number one any day of the week.
Okay, Dibak, I agree.
I agree too, Jean.
Shake hands with each other.
Okay, no problem. Look, we're all friends.
Embrace.
Oh, God.
That's it. Put your arms around him.
Worst night ever.
Deborah, are you there?
Iman Jawad?
Yeah. How are you feeling?
I feel great. What happened? What happened to your face?
It doesn't matter. All that matters is that you're fine. And that no one ever finds out what happened to my face.
Imran!
Why am I holding this horn?
I'll take that. I think it's over. Are you feeling okay?
I feel better than okay. What did I miss?
Mr. Afzal, Mr. Bernstein, you can let go of each other now.
Oh, okay.
Come and embrace your children instead.
As they did so, Jawad and Saul approached each other.
Me thinks that's a job well done.
Oh, me concurs. You're going to get fired by easy in, easy out.
I reckon so. Yeah, totally worth it. At least until I have to start signing on. Can I ask you a question?
Fire away.
Do you believe any of this? The whole Dibok Jinn thing? Or do you think they just made it up to get their own way?
Deborah was floating.
I've heard of stranger things.
Like what?
I heard a rabbi once rapped a sermon.
Don't tell anyone, but it's been a pleasure working with you, Jawad.
The rabbi extended his hand.
Likewise, Saul.
And the imam took it as the police stormed into the hall.
What's going on here, then?
So, there you have it. If I say that they all lived happily ever after, you can fill in the blanks yourself, can't you? And if there's a moral, I'm sure you're intelligent enough to extrapolate that for yourself too. Next time you're in the market, make sure you stop by again. Have a good day. What? Payment for the story? Oh, no, that won't be necessary. You gave me your ears. That's more than most would be willing to give, even if only for a limited period of time. Take care now. And oh, the Afzal and Bernstein media stall is over in that direction. Tell them I sent you and you'll get a discount. You can even ask them how their children are doing. I'm sure they'll be happy to tell you. After all, it's just another story on the market.
The Imam was Muz Khan and the Rabbi, David Fleischman. Imran was Peter Singh, Deborah Jessica Manley, Mr. Afzal Naqib Narat, Mr. Bernstein Roger Butcher, and Marcus Lloyd Peters. The narrator was Wiley Longmore. An Imam and a Rabbi was written by Shaquille Ahmed and produced in Manchester by Gary Brown.